Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another exciting edition of Monday Motivation. Hi everyone, this is Rabbi Garfinkel of Olami 613 Chicago with a percolating Purim live studio audience. I was percolating. Yes, Purim is upon us. Rarely do we get actually two podcasts in on Purim, but we're going to do just that this week. Last week we started, and this week we're going to continue. However, there were a few interesting world developments that occurred since last Purim. We were downtown for one of our absolutely incredible Shabbos in the city with Olami 613. And on Friday night, here's how it went. So the tensions were thick in terms of, you know, in the world geopolitical stage, the nuclear talks in, was it in Geneva? I forget where it was. Broke off without any progress, and an attack was basically imminent. And Friday night, we were there, an incredible crowd. The energy was just electric. I say in general, it's electric. It was absolutely electric. It was unbelievable. And in my comments, I said, you know what? Jews not only read headlines, Jews can make headlines. No one knows what's going to happen. Now, this was Friday night, around 9-ish o'clock, let's call it. No one knows what's going to happen. The headlines have not yet been written. But we as Jews believe that when we do the right thing, when we plug into Shabbos, when we plug into connecting with Hashem, then we create a merit, a spiritual well from which merits can be drawn and applied for success for the entire Jewish people. Now, those comments were said, let's say, I don't know, 8:30 or 9 o'clock. Turns out, three-ish hours later at 12:10 a.m. Chicago time, 8:10 Israel time, the launch of the joint attack of America and Israel on Iran happened. Now, who knows? I can't say that it was our Shabbos or a different Shabbos, but all the Shabboses together created a massive well and pool of merit that, ding dong, the witch is dead. Ding dong, the witch is dead. Now, we're going to get to Purim, and this is all inextricably linked, but you just have to scratch your head. The whole point of what we talked about Purim last time was the secrets of Shushan. They're miracles that are secretive, that can fly under the radar, to quote a Air Force term. They can fly under the radar, but are they just natural? Was it a coinkadink? Oh, shucks, I don't know. Maybe it's just a coinkadink. Or maybe it's not a coincidence. Maybe it's something deeper. That is the challenge of Purim. Now, I don't know about you, but a little shy of 2,400 years ago, there was a monomaniacal despot in Purim, in Shushan, which was in Persia, which is in modern-day Iran. It is the same people. And guess what? They wanted to wipe us out, man, woman, and child. Guess what Khomeini wanted to do? His life goal, his life mission. You know, this nuclear program that he had, it wasn't for humanitarian purposes. It was to wipe out the Jewish people specifically. Now, if he could take down all the infidels as well, that would be a cherry on top. But specifically, he wanted to wipe out the Jews. And for Israel and America as well, to be able to wipe him out and his key people and the key nuclear installations, and the effort is still ongoing, is absolutely a Purim miracle 2026. It is absolutely a redo. in with obvious salient noticeable differences. We did not have the greatest superpower of the world fighting on our side. In fact, Purim was a more desperate situation. But nevertheless, facing this monomaniacal despot seeking our total and absolute destruction of every Jew around the world, that cannot be overlooked. That is not a coinkydink. And so therefore, we were plugging in on Friday night to this incredible redo of Purim, even before the attack. And then we found out on Shabbos morning about that Khamenei was killed, and etc. Now, what I want to do before I get to the actual, some more about Purim and the story of Esther, because there's some very important stuff we need to get to. I want to share with you the message that I sent out. We have various ways of communicating with our Olami 613 young professionals. One of the major ways is a WhatsApp group. It's not a discussion, it's an admin only, which means that basically only members of the staff of the Olami 613 can post there. And it is a way that we communicate upcoming programs and important ideas. I felt this was such an important event, what is happening right now, that I needed to address it. And here we go. So this is what I shared with them. Shalom, beautiful people of Olami 613. Here is my response to the American-Israel attack on Iran. Point number one. Evil exists, and we are happy when evil is destroyed. Since 1989, Khamenei built the largest terror infrastructure around the world in human history, killing thousands and wreaking havoc on millions of people. He wanted nuclear weapons to destroy Israel, his lifelong goal. The removal of this very real potential Hitler is good. It is good. Okay, now off script. It is good, people. It is wonderful. It is excellent. It is just as wonderful as it gets when there are people who are evil in the world and they wake up in the morning. This is what people don't understand about radical Islam, and you have to understand their religious reasons for it. They wake up in the morning, they breathe, eat, sleep, walk, work. Everything in their entire life is how to hurt, maim, and destroy other people, specifically Jews. Now, I didn't say every Muslim is like that. I repeat, I didn't say every Muslim like that. But these radical Islamic clerics, etc., and the people who follow them, that is their waking goal. And so when we see with our own eyes that evil is removed from this world, that is good. You know, I get all the, you know, oh, Rabbi, why do bad things happen to good people? It's like, okay, you're looking at the exception to the rule. Most of the time, much of the time, do we notice when bad things happen to bad people? Like, this guy got it. And by the way, another great thing that happened, Ahmadinejad, that elf, that little rat, came, you know, who was causing us grief a decade plus ago, he also got a ticket to the next world. And there's not going to be 70 virgins waiting for him there. There are going to be endless eternity of burning, okay, and of punishment, because he has blood on his hands as well. We like when evil is removed from the world. We like it. It is a good thing. I know sometimes it's politically incorrect to say this. When evil is removed from the world, we like it. It's good. Okay, that was point number one. Second, every Jew on planet Earth should say thank you to the United States of America, Israel, and their current administrations, even if you don't like them. All right, guys, Rabbi's on a rant. Okay, I'll finish what I said. I said, someone takes out Hitler, we say thank you. It's not complicated. Okay, that's what I wrote. Yes, folks, it's not complicated. It is not complicated. I don't care if someone who I disagree with 99% of the time, or someone that I love 99% of the time, takes out Hitler. It doesn't matter. We Jews have to say thank you. Now, Sadly, it's the right-wing Jewish emails that I get who are thanking Trump, and the center-left emails just cannot, these Jewish groups cannot emit from their words, from their mouth, the words, thank you. We are Yehudim. Yehudim means lehodot, comes the word to thank. Why can't we just put our people over our politics and say, gee, thank you so much. And you know why it's dangerous? Is because the next president, whoever, from whatever party they are, they're going to say, wow, it doesn't matter that I stand up for the Jews. They're not going to thank me anyway. So why should I help the Jews? It is a dangerous precedent not to thank the president right now. Not only for this president, but for future presidents to come. It's so myopic, it's so narrow-minded, and it's so un-Jewish. It's just unbelievable that there are Jews on this earth who are saying that this was not a good thing. Really, 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 shame on them. They're just so detached from anything allegiant to the Jewish people and to Torah thinking and to basic rational thought. Come on, guys. Everyone who's listening out there, you need to be grateful. We need to be grateful for what just took place. Okay, that was my second point. Third point, the situation is still very dangerous in Israel, and we need to pray and do mitzvahs as a merit for their divine protection. That is absolutely true. I'm in touch with my daughter, Racheli, and my son-in-law, Shua, who live in Yerushalayim. They've been in and out of the bomb shelter several times, even though there's some modicum of normalcy in terms of going to work, etc. But there are often trips to the bomb shelter on Motzei Shabbos on Saturday night. There was a piece of shrapnel that they said fell about 200 meters from them. And as my son-in-law said, it was not even worth running. It came down so fast. And thank God it fell in a very crowded neighborhood in a construction site. Another hidden miracle, another whisper from Shushan, but this was a whisper actually in Jerusalem. All right, so guys, we need to pray. We need to do mitzvahs. And this is a call again, and I made a call for this at the beginning of last week's podcast, that we need to do Purim. You need to cancel your dentist appointment or push it off. You need to push off your mani-pedi, okay? Tuesday starts Monday night, and then Tuesday late afternoon, most is when the time when we have the meal. This is the part that most people don't do and they should do because it's so fun. People get to a reading on Monday night, okay, maybe a Tuesday morning. The main mitzvah, one of the main ones, is to sit down, have a celebratory meal of all of the miracles that Hashem has done for us and continues to do for us. The other mitzvahs of the day are hearing the Megillah, both at the nighttime, which is Monday night, and anytime during the day on Tuesday. That's the second one. And then the last two mitzvahs are ones of giving tzedakah. If you would like to give tzedakah, it's giving to the poor. $20 covers you. It's supposed to be two meals, one meal to two different poor Jewish people. Usually a person can get a meal for about $10. Some say you can do the whole thing for $10. Usually $20 is good enough. You can contact me. You can go to Chabad.org. You can find wonderful places online that you can give your money and it will be distributed on that day. This is not the day. I just had my fundraiser. This is not a fundraiser for me. This is giving money that will be distributed on the day of Purim. And the final mitzvah is, of course, giving two types of food to one other Jew. Another, nothing to do with being poor or not being poor, but to share the gifts, the joy, the unity of the Jewish people. All right, those are the four mitzvahs. As we continue, so we really need to do that, folks. Very important. Now, point number four, the significance, and we touched on this briefly, the significance of the destruction of an evil Persian dictator who wanted to annihilate the Jewish people a few days before the holiday of Purim, celebrating the exact same thing 2,400 years ago, is extremely meaningful. The same Hashem who watched over us then is the same Hashem who watches over us now. Let us thank the Almighty for being the face behind the mask of history. And that's really what we view Hashem as. He is the face behind the mask of history. And it is upon us to be able to reveal, to take off that mask and to see Hashem. Now, there is, we'll finish here in the last 5 minutes with a very powerful idea about this mask. What is going on over here? You know, the Talmud asks a crazy question. It says, where do we see in the Torah a hint to Esther? The Torah will do this often, even though Esther's not in the actual Torah, but we believe everything has a source in the Torah. Esther is in the writings, part of the Tanakh, the Jewish Bible, but it's not in the actual Torah scroll. Why? Because it happened later than the actual time period of the Torah. But it's in our canon, it's in our Jewish Bible, Tanakh. So the rabbis ask, where do we find Esther in the Torah? Esther min haTorah menayin? And the Gemara famously in the Tractate of Chulin, page 139b, says, you know what? It's a verse from the Tochacha, the rebuke. Now there is, if you ever want to, have a cold water wake up, there are two sections of the Torah that basically talk about the incredible punishments. Now, I mean incredible, it's like mind-numbing and jaw-dropping, the punishments that will happen to the Jewish people when we abandon the Torah. Now, I guess that's one way to do Jewish outreach. But nevertheless, people said, their Holocaust, people went through the Holocaust and lost their faith. There is an entire group of people who went through the Holocaust and gained their faith. They said, wow, this is the fulfillment of these two sections of the Torah called the rebuke, the Tochacha. So in that rebuke, it says, V'anochi haster astir panai b'yomahu, I will certainly hide my face from you on that day, al kol ra'a asher asah, on all of the evil that was done, kifana el Elohim achrim, because I will hide myself from you, basically because you turned to other gods. You didn't rely on me, you relied on other gods. Now, the verse has a double verb, and it says, v'anochi I haster, astir, I shall certainly hide. Seter is literally to be hidden. Esther is that same word with an aleph in front of it. And so that is where we get the idea, the source of where Esther is in the Torah. What did Mordechai tell Esther to do? He said, do not reveal who you are. Esther herself represents hiddenness. And so what does the verse really mean? Esther represents meaning and purpose. Esther represents that there is an Esther behind the Hester. There is meaning and purpose behind the Hester. Hester is the hiddenness. And that's the play on words. Esther, meaning and purpose behind the Hester, the hiddenness. There's a method to the madness. Hashem is working for us. The miracle on Purim was a hidden miracle. So the commentators ask, why was there no challah? Why do we not say challah on Purim? One of the answers is, challah is, by the way, the group of psalms that we say, saying Hashem is awesome and he did miracles for us. So why don't we say that on Purim? Hashem did miracles for us. The first answer the Talmud gives is that we still ended up slaves and subservient, maybe not slaves, but subservient to Ahasuerus. And it wasn't like Egypt that we left Pharaoh and we went to freedom. However, the second answer why we don't say Hallel on Purim is that we do say Hallel. We read the Megillah. When we read the Megillah, it is a hidden Hallel for a hidden miracle. That actually reading the story where it recounts no obvious open miracle, that is the Hallel. That's the praise of the Almighty. Hashem, we see you. We see you in the everyday workings of the world. Okay, and so that is the Hallel. We've talked a little bit about drinking last time. What is the point here? The point of the drinking is to get to the core essence of who we are. The core essence of who we are. The Talmud in the Tractate of Brachos says something very powerful, and this is the main idea of this section of the podcast, is the Gemara in Brachos, the Talmud says, Ritzoneinu lasos ritzonecha, really deep down inside, our desire, our ratzon, our desire is to serve you, but what can we do? There are two things that prevent us from serving you, Hashem. One is anti-Semitism. One is subjugation of the nations of the world. Listen to podcasts about Jewish Spain from 1391 to 1492. I don't know how anyone survived that period. It's unbelievable. We've been through so much. You know, the Holocaust is just, you know, the end of 1500 years or more of European torture. Shem, we're having difficulty serving you because there's a lot of bad guys out there. And it's hard to serve you and you know, to do what we need to do. But there's another reason why we can't serve you, Hashem. It's called the Yetzer Hara, the Seor Shebe'isa, the yeast in the dough. The Yetzer Hara puffs himself up. It's ego. It's desire. It's that inner force that drives us towards negativity, towards egoism, towards selfishness, towards indulgence. And not going to our higher selves. And so what do we do? What do we do? Unlike the secular world that drinks to become someone that they're not, right? How many times have people the morning after discussed, well, why did you do what you did last night? Maybe imagine some people in college and they say, well, I had a little bit too much to drink. In other words, my drinking became a justification and a validation why I violated my moral code. On Purim, we drink to access our higher selves, our inner goodness, our Esther behind the Hester, our point of goodness, our Esther in us behind the Hester, the hiddenness of the mask. By drinking, we put our Yetzer Hara, our Seor Shebe'isa, our negative inclination to sleep, to access the goodness inside of us. And you'll see on Purim, if you're with us at Olami 613 in West Rogers Park or elsewhere at a genuine Purim meal, there are no belligerent drunks. It is people drinking to blast through the layers of superficiality to access that deep inner point of goodness. That's why we drink on Purim. And that's why we wear costumes on Purim, because we're making fun of ourselves. We're saying we go around all year, right? And we're really putting on masks, right? The irony is the children who put on the masks and the costumes, they're the ones that don't need it. Their outer essence is really reflective of their inner essence. And it's really the adults that should be wearing masks. That's our challenge. Purim is that day where we access our inner goodness. And so I want to conclude by asking the question, how are we supposed to be different after Purim? Every holiday we're supposed to be different. We're supposed to be better. We're supposed to be better on Purim because once we've accessed our inner goodness and gotten in touch with it, then it will be easier throughout the year to flash that greatness, to access that inner strength to do what's right, not only on Purim, but throughout the year. Once we take off our mask of superficiality on Purim, we will be able to act at our highest level and our highest selves throughout the year. That is the greatness of Purim. And that is one of the reasons why Purim is such an elevated and holy and treasured day among the Jewish people and by the Almighty Himself. So God bless. You will find yourselves, you will make it happen, that you will celebrate Purim and be at a Purim meal and hear the Megillah and give charity to the Jewish poor and give gift basket to another friend. And God willing, we will see continued miracles for the Jewish people now and always. God bless. Have an amazing Purim, and we'll see you again right back here next week for another exciting edition of Monday Motivation.